There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. And phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. And remember, check our website out, Facebook page, for more details on our Big Green Deal contest. Your chance to win over $9,000 worth of goodies this summer. How to win, all those details on the website and the Facebook page. Go check them out right now and go see great folks that make this possible, our participating sponsors, and sign up to win. All right, so I mentioned as we went into the news break that Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for Congress, AL1, Jerry Carl, joining us in studio. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And there's so much to get into today to talk about. Let's go with the subject that is hottest right now, at least coming out of last hour, and that is tolling and proposed tolling on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. You've had some comments on this and the lack of federal money.
Yeah, I've been involved in that project very early when I was as president and actually picked the engineering firm. I guess that would have been back in 2015.
But no, this thing's been going on for a while. I know a lot of people just like, this bridge thing.
It's been going on long before I got there. Mm-hmm. It was going on. But never was it mentioned tolling the tunnels. So 2 weeks ago when I was at a meeting in Baldwin County, I happened just to pop in on the bridge meeting. I saw they were tolling the tunnels. I said, what's up with tolling the tunnels? They said, well, the numbers won't match. Mm-hmm. That won't work if we don't toll the tunnels. And right then they lost my support.
Well, that's
right
what they told me on this.
Because I had, from the very beginning, viewed the locals, being Mobile, Baldwin County, being able to use that tunnel as a alternative route to the bridge at no cost, because we have paid for that tunnel. That tunnel is ours.
Well, okay. That happened to be on the show when I had the folks on from ALDOT, and we were in the conversation, and they said, necessarily, we will be tolling the Wallace Tunnel. I said, well, what do you mean? They said, because it'll be leaky, meaning that people will take the tunnel instead of taking the bridge. And I said, well, and I felt like you, that I, and they showed me somewhere where it had been published before. I said, well, and I'm sorry, because I know what assuming does, but I'd assumed y'all were talking about the bridge. And I had no problem with that, because that's like, to me, okay, you're in Florida. Say we're going to drive down to South Florida. You choose to take the turnpike. It costs you $16 from like Yeehaw Junction to where it dumps you off in Miami, but you make that choice because I-95 is going to be crowded and this and that. You make that choice and you're free to go the other way, but you pay to go. That model to me doesn't bother me. That's how I felt about the way I thought I understood the bridge project. If you choose to save time and take the bridge, you pay for it, it's good, but you can go the old way. They said, if we do that, same thing they told you, the numbers don't add up. In other words, they don't think enough people are going to go across the bridge and pay for it, whatever the toll is, to pay for it.
Correct. But, and over a 50-year period.
Yeah.
Someone explain that to me. And being fair to everyone here, the numbers still haven't come out. The proposal has not come out. It may come out and be something totally different than what we've been fed. There's a little bit of information that's trickled out. So let's try to think positive there. But you can't expect, Mobile and Baldwin County, we've become regionalized. What's good for Baldwin County is good for Mobile and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So to charge an individual $2,500, I tell you where my phones lit up were the businesses, mm-hmm. were the air conditioned businesses and the
what does it mean to those folks?
That cross that maybe 10 or 12 times a day. And how does that affect their bottom line? It's huge. So it's really not. It's not an option on the tolling unless we can offer an alternative route, which would be the tunnels. And that's what I'm pushing and promoting.
Because they're arguing that the alternative route is going Cochrane Africa Town Bridge.
That's not an alternative route.
It's not.
That's a detour.
Good term for it.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I would add in here this idea that, and you said it, and this is true, that Mobile and Baldwin County are together. As much as I get people on here, I'll just stay in Mobile County, or the heck, Baldwin County, well, I'll just stay in Mobile County. I think that is a fail.
It may be a fail, but, you know, it's something we've got to view. You look at Baldwin County. I've been over there working with the real estate people running this campaign. I'm getting really exposed to a lot of the Baldwin County stuff. And you've got some builders over there building 400 to 500 houses at any given time at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dependent on those people moving in, and most of those people are driving to and from Mobile County. Mm-hmm. We need them in Mobile County today.
Agreed, but I think maybe there's science out here to prove it, or social science to prove it, that Mobile and Baldwin County together are bigger than 50-50. You see what I'm saying? That we're bigger when the business travels across that bayway.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're becoming one. One enhances the other.
Right.
So Baldwin County needs the jobs. We need the housing. I'd love to have the housing on this side.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen if you start charging the tolls? You're going to see people start picking where they want to live.
Mm-hmm. And to work. It's all going to be on.
There's nothing wrong with living in Mobile County. I'd love for them to come out and build those 400 or 500 houses.
You and I are both Mobile County guys.
Yeah, we're West Mobile guys. Yep. We understand that. But what it's going to affect more than that are the small businesses that go, wait a minute, I don't want to pay that $25, $30, mm-hmm. you know, for my employees. I'll just move my business to Baldwin County.
Yes.
Or I'll move my business to Mobile. That, you know, the small businesses, and now you start moving with tax bases and you start affecting the cities and our taxes. It's going to hurt. It's not a good idea. We've got to come up with an alternative. And I heard you talking earlier about can we pull the plug? Of course we can pull the plug. I'm getting 10 or 12 phone calls a day saying pull the plug. And I'm not going to give up. We're going to build that bridge. We are going to build that bridge. There's no doubt in my mind we're going to build that bridge. But we have got to come up with an alternative of the money.
Well, okay, the pull the plug thing, I think where I'm trying to express the feelings that listeners of FM Talk 106.5 have, that call me, that text, that email, is they feel, oh gosh, that comment period was over. Okay? Mm-hmm. I can't stop it. It's happening, and I can't stop it. So you're listening. I know State Senator Chris Elliott just said he's listening. I mean,
there's a lot of people listening. A lot of the elected officials, I don't know this for a fact, but they're going to be very cautious to get involved in this because from a political standpoint.
But that's not good either to not get involved,
early. Early.
Okay.
At some point, place, and time, they will have to get involved. But in watching Chris, Senator Elliott over in Baldwin County, he's really focused on the state. That's when I called him and I said, how about the federal? Let me focus on the federal.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, we did a resolution in the Mobile County Commission, myself and Connie Hudson. We did. We've written a nice personal letter to the president, and we actually have it being hand-delivered to him. And it's reminding him of his roots. His campaign started in Mobile. He loves Mobile. I've had conversations with him about that. He loves Mobile.
And he talked about infrastructure all through that campaign.
And everybody says, well, there's only $800 to $1 billion that's earmarked for this. We don't know because there's nothing put together. It can change. So all I'm trying to do is get an audience with the president and say, we are your base. You know, people down here love him. He's a rock star. You know, he owes west portion of Florida for taking Florida.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a Mobile Baldwin County issue. This is a U.S. issue.
Yeah, you're driving from L.A. to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Florida, all the way to California. So we've got to get everyone involved on a federal level.
Yeah, I'm seeing somebody, and we're going to run to break and come back. Somebody said the Wallace Tunnel has always been mentioned as a toll in addition to the bridge. And that's why I said that when I was talking to the people from ALDOT, I said, I know what assuming does, of course, but it was not, at least to me, publicized at all. And I kind of look at this stuff for a living. That's what I think has shocked me back then and a lot of listeners right now. We'll get back in the discussion when we return with you, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl, in studio. And talking about, this is actually a subject, this is kind of the perfect Rosetta Stone. This is the keystone between the job of Mobile County Commissioner and the possible job of being a congressman for AL1. This bridge thing brings all that together.
Well, not just this bridge thing, but everything I do all day long is tied into something that could relate into this congressional job. Yeah. I'm dealing with the school systems, I'm dealing with county government, I'm dealing with state government, I'm dealing with local cities. So everything I do can exactly relate into this congressional job. It's just a natural fit.
You know, I look at this bridge project the way I look at, like, questions if we're going to take a family vacation or whatever at the house, that there's a spectrum. That if this bridge project was free, everybody, maybe there's somebody out there, but most 99.9% of the people would say, hooray, this is great, right?
But there's nothing free.
That's right. I'm saying in the spectrum, on one end of the spectrum is the bridge project's free, everybody cheers. Then there's the other spectrum that, let's say, it's an increase in your taxes at a 300% rate, plus the toll on top of that is going to be $50, and everybody says no. Okay. Somewhere in between those two ends, you finally get a majority of people on. Is that, where do you, when you talk to constituents, where is that point?
They just want access as being a resident to go to and from without being tolled. Now,
no problem with having a tolled bridge.
No problem having a tolled bridge. They just, as a local, they do not want to pay a toll. Now, what if, these tolls are actually paid based on your tag. It takes a picture of your tag and mails you a bill. So what if they program a system where a 2 or 5 tag, Mobile County, Baldwin County, tag does not receive the bill? We get to cross it for free. I'm happy.
Right. I know that there's, of course, we could bring, I know before somebody types it in, Alabama that has more specialty plates than any other state in the nation, we'd figure out where the address would be. And I guess we need to repeat this because I have to repeat it every time. There are no, even in the proposed thing, there's no toll booths. It's toll by plate, y'all. Right. Everybody says, oh, slow down. There are no toll booths. It's toll by plate. But there was some nuance here that the federal government, which I'm gonna get to in a second, the federal government says you can give discounts based on frequency of use but not address. In other words, where you live can't give you the discount, but the frequency of use can. Now, if the feds don't give us a dime, should we care what they say? But
I agree with that. But you know, bottom line, we're going to build a bridge. We've just got to figure out what works best for Mobile, Baldwin County, and all the counties concerned. This is a huge aspect to the nation's security. You know, if we have some real problems and we have to move a lot of military equipment across the country, it's got to come through here. You know, you look at the tunnel right now. It does get back up. It is 90% of the time it works fine. 90% of the time the flow's okay. It's that 10% of the time, which is before 8 o'clock and after 5 o'clock, is when it really has problems. You know, and we're still talking about 8 to 10 years out for a bridge is actually
that's
built.
Right,
so,
that's
I mean,
right.
The numbers just keep growing. So as elected officials, we have to slow down and think how this is going to affect our counties and our district. This is a federal road. It is not a Mobile Baldwin County road. It is a federal highway.
Right. And I want to get to that because I think there's some, you know, but I was, when this first came out too, I said, well, there's no precedent set for tolling an interstate. And fortunately, a lot of people have called me since then with that same idea. And I have to say, well, actually, when I first mentioned that, I asked the question, I got a suite of PDF files out of the federal government that other places in the country, they have tolled some interstates. So that thing is not completely true. It's just, I didn't realize that went on, but you mentioned, you know, this idea of it being something broader than just people right here. It's the entirety. It is a federal interstate. It is a federal interstate. And
how do you think it would affect Texas?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you see it in the president was, I mean, let's play this game. For a second, the president was in Lake Charles last week, right? Saying, I'm going to get you all a bridge. Now, will that happen or not? I don't know. I don't think the Democrats are going to play ball right now on infrastructure, but
we still have to get in line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm asking the president. you know, it is going to take some negotiation. It may have to be after the 2020 election. You know, we may be talking 2 years before we can get money.
I think so.
Okay, that's fine, but get us in line. Understand.
Can we put it on ice for 2 years till that happens, or does the whole thing fall apart if you do that?
I don't think it falls apart. I don't. Well, you know, now we're talking about driving pylons in late fall, maybe, and those are test pylons, and maybe it may run into 2020. So I don't think it falls apart at all.
Yeah, the other thing that comes up to me, and this from your position as a Mobile County Commissioner, and I would say the same thing to any of the Mobile City Council or Mayor Sandy Stimson, if this goes through the way it's projected, now the way people will get around that, they will get off at a Virginia Street or Texas or something, and they're going to make their way down the surface streets onto government, hang that right, and go to the Bankhead. That number could be, it could be, I saw, now this is an estimate that somebody, you know, taking the total number of traffic a day and then just making an assumption about how many people would avoid it, it could be like 8,000 to 10,000 vehicles extra a day running down South, you know, running down Broad and getting onto government, or going down through downtown and getting onto government to go to the Bankhead Tunnel. That's a lot of wear and tear on roads that now those roads that have to be for sure paid for by county and city money.
Today at 5 o'clock, the traffic will be backed up well past the Chamber of Commerce going into the Bankhead Tunnel. So that's what, 4 blocks, maybe 5 blocks,
right?
And it will stay that way for a good 30 minutes. So it takes you a good 20 minutes to get through all those cycles of lights.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take that plus you add the other people that are trying to avoid the toll, I mean, you're backed up all the way to the tunnel. I mean, to the cannon.
Mm-hmm.
It just will not work. It can't. You know, we've got to be realistic. We have to look after the people.
That's what you're saying.
It's the people's road. When I said nothing's free, those are our tax dollars when you're talking about federal money. That's our tax dollars.
Right, and it works twice against us. If we have a situation, that's what I'm saying, it's like a double whammy, and I don't think anybody's been mentioning this, that if you toll, and that either you're making the people around here pay, and then at the same time people avoid that toll, more wear and tear on the roads in Mobile County and City of Mobile, plus more law enforcement to work any kind of traffic situations. Now it's costing two ways. It's costing the county and municipality money that way, and the individual citizens through a toll the other way.
And the state having to keep that 100-year-old tunnel patched up, too, that's leaking. Or it has always leaked, but it shows sign of leaking on the inside now. All tunnels leak, folks.
Right, I thought
everybody
it was
gets excited.
It's a refreshing spritzer, and if I don't have any windshield wiper fluid, it helps me out. Let's go to the phones, and David is in Mobile. You're on with Jerry Carl.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Commissioner Carl.
Hey, David.
I actually talked to Commissioner Carl about this at the State of the City and County lunch, but I wanted to see if he could give me a firm answer on the radio, and that is, if elected to Congress, would he seek to try to get a seat on the House Subcommittee on Aviation?
You know, again, and I remember our conversation, I think it's a little early for me to be trying to pick committees. I'm still trying to
answer
your question. I think it would be very vital to this community for me to be on that committee. But it's a little bit early for me to start saying what committees I actually want to be on. I have some particular things that I have passions about, especially the Veterans Administration. But it's a little early, but I appreciate the way your thought pattern's going. Thank you.
Well, like I said, I just think it's important that the representative with the only U.S.-based plane manufacturer for Airbus in their district be on that committee.
And I agree. I totally agree with you. But I still don't have a straight answer for you because I truly don't know.
There you go. David, appreciate the call. We'll grab some more calls after the news here. By the way, too, as we get into this and talk about your continued, of course, you've been running for this office, the first announcement out there of running for Congress for AL1. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. But if people want to go and find out more, website, social media, where do they go?
Very simple. Jerry Carl for Congress.
Okay, on all
Facebook, all media. Jerry Carl for Congress.
It's called branding, y'all.
Yeah, the guy with the two first names.
Thought about that.
Easy to remember when you get in that voting booth.
You do have two first names.
I do.
How did that never? Never strike me. I never even picked on you about that. And I'll start.
I'm used to it.
Start that. All right. Coming back, we'll grab those calls and texts at 343-0106. We'll check the news, the forecast, and then back to y'all. And by the way, too, reminder, shows on the road Friday. We are at Mobile Bay Coins, and that starts at noon. We'll actually get out there a little bit earlier, but out there at Mobile Bay Coins, starting at noon for Midday Mobile. So come out and say hello. Grab. So somebody asked me if we have any more of the FM Talk 106.5 huggers. Do we? And we got some new colors, too. So come by and grab one of those. And take it out on the weekend. Enjoy the opening week of the snapper season. Take your new hugger with you. Put your Fanta in it. You know, whatever.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Glad to have you along. And good to have Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1 Congress, Jerry Carl, in studio. And a couple different things we're talking about here, of course, that live in both worlds. And that is part of what you were talking about, sending this letter, hand-delivered letter, to the president to say, you probably put it with more flourish. I'd say, hey, we need some help down here.
Yeah, look at us. You know, remind him who we are. Let him know that we have a need for a bridge. Also, we mentioned the Louisiana letter in our letter. We don't say you gave it to them, so give it to us, because we're really talking about two different issues here. We're talking about these two different bridges. That's a structural issue in Louisiana, and we point that out in the letter. We give him a little bit of leniency in the letter, but and the letter should be online by now. It should be published. But we just want to make him aware of what the needs that we have, and our needs in Mobile and Baldwin County are the needs of the nation, because this is a security issue. We got to be able to move our troops to and from. We've got to be able to move people to and from, and to lose a tunnel or to affect this, and because this is a bottleneck. This is where it all comes down.
Yeah, I wonder, the trouble is, you know, if you're in Washington with this, this is a big deal. We can tell you how all of us have a story, how it affects us, sure, how it affects business, how it affects our families. But when you're in Washington and you're talking about this, and you got somebody whose district covers part of Los Angeles and somebody else who covers, you know, New York and somebody else Atlanta, and they probably go, oh, y'all don't have traffic problems.
Well, and Chris Elliott was mentioning Transportation Director Fox. I was there for that meeting also. I mean, we've all...
That's how long this has been going on, y'all.
Yeah, we've all been going meeting with lots of people, different places, trying to recruit some help here. And most of the response we get is, y'all really don't have traffic issues. We can show you traffic issues. And that we get that as a lot, as a response from a lot of the other elected officials in other states. And that's why I keep pointing out security issues. Let's forget about traffic. Let's just talk about security. What happens if the tunnels, something happens to the tunnel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a security issue. And that's, I think, that's as a country, that's what we should be focused on.
That's right. That the detour is a serious detour to get around those, for sure.
Right.
And I want to mention this. We're going to go to the phones, and I see somebody holding on just this subject. Wanted to see where we are with fire districts in the county, and something we had talked about in the past. You had some meetings going on with this.
Well, the meetings went as predicted. You know, there was a lot of people that got upset. There was a lot of people that are confused or were confused then. What did come out of the first meeting, which I was so proud of, is they did set up three different committees, and they looked at the three options, one being do nothing, one being form their own fire department, and the third option being to annex. The second meeting I did not put together, but these three committees put the second meeting together. Not as many people, but a lot of people came together for it. They heard the three options. Since then, as you well know, we had one neighborhood that actually was joining the city. I know there are several that are looking at joining the city, and the conversation is still moving forwards. And what I've pushed through this whole process, I could have kept my mouth shut and walked away from it, because I won't be in office here as county commissioner here in a year and a half and just ignored it. But I'm not one to leave stuff like that.
It's a big deal, though.
Well, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal, especially if you're caught off guard. So I chose to bring it up, and I chose for us to address it, and it's working because people are talking and people are sharing their ideas, and some people that were totally against it are now beginning to go, you know, maybe we should look at forming that volunteer fire department. Maybe we should look at a way of taxing ourselves, which a fee per house per year, call it what you want to, it's still a tax.
But there's a, you know, I don't have exact numbers in front of me, but if your insurance rates are going to go up way high because of that, maybe you end up at the same equilibrium, but now you have a fire department, you know?
Right.
And I mean, I don't know what those numbers are. They may not match up
and,
like that.
And for right now, that the city of Mobile and this area we're talking about is getting ready to experience a decrease in their insurance because they're going to an X1 from a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some exceptions. There are some that are too far out away from the fire itself, and we're having to do a little shuffling on those, but it's just a handful.
All right, let's go to the phones. Fred is in Mobile. You're on with Jerry Carl.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, I'd like to thank Jerry for calling together at the first meeting. I'm actually with the annexation group, the annexwestmobile.org.
Hey, buddy.
And we are starting to move forward with our efforts to take in, get the city to take and recognize. This is a step process.
Oh, yeah.
And it you have to take and perform certain things along the way, and so we're entering a letter writing phase. It's funny y'all talking about writing letters today, and it's what kind of got me wanting to come on, is we're in a letter writing phase where we're asking residents in this area where there's the fire protection is to write letters to the city council and to Mayor Stimson in Mobile, and asking them to take and look at annexing us to the city of Mobile. And we're trying to get that campaign. It's kind of hard to do, but it just came out really over the holidays, and so we're trying to gather steam and go forward with that. And Dale Sawyer, our chair, has done a really good job of kind of shepherding us through the process, and he's working with various officials, and we're moving ahead with that.
And what's your Facebook page that they can go and get that information from, Fred?
The Facebook is Annex West Mobile on Facebook. And basically it's information of where they can go out and get that information to what we're doing, and actually have some copies of some form letters or some copies of some letters, examples there of what they should be writing to the city leaders.
Do you have any idea of the breakdown percentage of people that are for or against?
Well,
do you have any data on that?
It varies for neighborhood. I know where the neighborhood I live in, it's roughly about 70 to 80% of the people in the subdivision that I'm in roughly would like to take and be annexed into the city. We actually, one of the things that I pointed out in my letter to the city was that they removed the possibility of us forming our own city years ago when they annexed the upper end of Schillinger's Road. They took away
tax base,
the most viable revenue source for having a city that this area would have. So we've kind of been paying taxes to the city of Mobile all along since that occurred. And of course, most of us shop in shop back in the Mobile. So we spent a lot of money in the Mobile city limits. I mean, I bought my car. I bought it was inside the city of Mobile limits, so I paid city taxes. So a lot of us are paying city taxes when we're just wanting to take and become fully vested, so we can have a voice in government. We also would take and bring in a really diverse area, and would help expand the city. I mean, that's the other thing, is that we would recently, I think there's been some reports in AL.com where the city of Mobile has actually shrank in size, and this would give the city a chance to take and grow. And,
the city of Mobile is
and show that to prospective people coming, moving to the area, moving their corporations or their businesses into the area. This would show that, hey, Mobile is a growing city, and they are wanting to go forward.
Right, and the city of Mobile has really had some growing problems, simply because there's no real estate left. They've pushed it to the limits Literally.
Yeah. Good point. Fred, thank you for the call. We'll talk about a couple things here on the AL1 front and your campaign for Congress here. So you go up, let's say you go up to a Washington now that is, people often say this, and I say, it's not as bad as it's, you know, people always say, it's always worse than, this is the worst it's ever been. I'll say, I think it's fairly defensible in the last, let's say, three decades. It's the most contentious I've seen it in Washington. Does that seem fair? Is that arguable?
I think that's fair.
Okay. So in that situation, what are you going to be stuck in a House that, you know, is going to be under Democrat control, or do you see that changing, going back to Republicans? And if so, how do you get the work of AL1 done, you know, in a system where things are blocked not because they're right or wrong, but because they're Republican or Democrat?
70% of the congressional but 70% of the volume that they handle is veteran-related. I mean, and you'd have to get the exact numbers from Congressman
really?
Burns, obviously, but there's a lot of veteran issues that are dealt with, and that's really, you know, with my son being in the VA system and seeing the frustrations, and President Trump and Burns both have made some huge progress in the last 3 years. I'll give them credit, but you know, with my management background in the healthcare field, I can see some ways of simplifying it very easily. And that will take a lot from that. Now, historically, if you look at the way I've done my business as an elected official, I've dealt with both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if it's going to work, you've got to come together at some point, place, and time and become Americans. Now, and Washington's a little different story. Washington is one side or the other, and of course, President Trump's under continuous scrutiny over everything he didn't do, plus what he might be doing. So, you know, we've got to step in there. You've got to elect somebody that's going to support the president, obviously. But you've also got to elect somebody that's a doer, somebody that's used to getting a job done.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a job done is not always done the same way every time. You know, you cut the grass, it's not the exact same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to send someone up there that's used to bending and twisting and working with the elements that they have to work with. I didn't say give in and roll over.
Right.
But we've got to be able to put somebody up there that can work through these issues and bring home as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, that's like federal funding for a bridge.
Yes, sir.
Coming right back. More with Jerry Carl here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, I mentioned this show live from Mobile Bay Coins on Friday, and I'll be hanging out with this guy, Angelo. Check it in now. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going on this hot day, Sean?
It's good because I know I'm coming to see y'all. It's really, I mean, I'd like to say, I'm just desperate to see you. And I'm happy to see you, but you put up on Facebook yesterday, you've bulked up your collection of knives. I always find the coolest knives when I'm there for maybe me myself and also to have gifts. I think knives are a great gift. You got some new ones in the store, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited as well. It's something we had over the holidays. You may remember the really weird-looking knife that was more of a gardening tool.
Mm-hmm.
We picked up some more of those, and this one actually has a sheath. You can carry it around and not worry about reaching into the, you know, the gardening bucket and poking yourself or cutting yourself with it. So that's an extra safety feature. They also had a Japanese-style, they called it a trimming tool, a gardening tool. You and I would call it a machete.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that thing is wicked cool. Wooden handle. The blade, it's just amazing. I can't even talk about it.
Okay, right, so we'll do that on Friday, though, because I know that I'm not the only one, you're not the only one that likes a great pocket knife or something like that. And you just got one of the coolest collections of them. I want people to come out and look at them. But we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of tax-free buying gold and silver.
Yeah, and I want to, again, thank you for your help in that, because you allowed us to go on the air for a whole hour talking about all the implications of sales tax on gold and silver bullion in Alabama and changing that law and making it legal and okay to not have to pay those sales taxes rather than working around it. So now all you have to do is come by Mobile Bay Coins here in Midtown, buy an ounce of gold, buy an ounce of silver, and you don't have that 10% liability sitting over your head.
Yeah, it makes it a lot better for a lot more folks. Okay, tell people, I mean, number one, we want them to come by on Friday, but between now and then, they want to stop by. Yeah, give them directions.
Yeah, we're here during the week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can also go onto Facebook and check out Mobile Bay Coins there, or go onto our website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Thank you, Angelo. See you soon.
See you Friday.
All right, see you Friday, as I delve into what's new in the knife collection out there. Guest in the studio this hour, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl, talking about issues that... Yeah, they do kind of dovetail together between issues you deal with as a commissioner and the issues you might deal with if elected to Congress.
When I went to Washington the first time, I was really questioning whether I was qualified or not. And when I got up there, that was the first thing was pointed out to me. It's the perfect position to move from a county commission that's in the ditches, that's with the people, that has served them for the last 8 years, to move into that, because you're taking all those job skills with you. None of the other candidates can offer that.
You know, and I didn't realize it until delving into it after you made your announcement back on the show months ago about running. I looked over, even here in our state, like Congressman Bo Brooks came from county commission level and looked around the country, the number of people that move into positions in Congress that come, because you would normally think, well, there's this, you know, this path, and then they have this job, then they're a mayor or something. But actually, county commissioners, there's a pretty substantial percentage of Congress folks that are coming from a county commission all over the country.
Well, and they're all good ones. They're none of the bad ones, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, everyone.
But we're used to dealing with the people. We're used to the people calling us about the barking dog or the grass too high. You know, we're used to dealing with issues that affect people on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a county commissioner, we're not running for office every 4 years. We're running every day.
Yeah,
especially in my district. I mean, my district has a history of turning over county commissioners because it is such a rough, raw district with lots of dirt roads and lots of drainage issues. The reason for that. Great people. And I've had the privilege of serving them. I tell you, this is probably the highest honor I've ever been, is being able to serve these people in District 3. And I enjoy it. I truly love serving people. It's a joy.
Now
you're
a known commodity, obviously, for Mobile County. You talk about being in Baldwin County and meeting people. And then there's many points, you know, AL1, geographically, is a pretty big chunk of ground.
It is, and I've covered most of it already.
that's some windshield time there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and you're talking about Baldwin County, you're talking about 110 miles from one end to the other. That is a huge county. In Baldwin County, I've really been accepted. I've met lots of great people over there. I'm learning more. I learn more from them than they're learning about me. And that's you know, you got to be a great listener to be a fixer, because you got to hear what's broke or hear what the problems are, so you can turn around and try to find an answer to it. Some answers are simple, some answers are hard, but you know, you've got to listen to the people, and that's where a county commission pays off. You have to be a good listener to be a county commissioner.
Although I have a feeling that at least on this end of AL1, Mobile and Baldwin counties, you have some things that are in common, like the bridge project.
Yeah, well, the bridge project is certainly a big one.
You mentioned, and we just have 1 minute left here, but you and I were talking during the news break about getting money and getting money for projects. And, you know, you brought up, well, why you do this? You bring up sore subjects with me. And you brought up BP money.
Okay. Well, you know, the BP money, there was $1 billion paid to the state of Alabama, and we, the area down here, Mobile Baldwin County, we got, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was less than 10% of that $1 billion. If we would have gotten what we deserved, which is $1 billion, this bridge would be halfway finished.
Yep.
But our elected leaders at that time were not, I don't want to use the word strong enough, but they didn't, in my opinion, they didn't put up enough of a fight.
Yeah.
And they came back to us and told us that we should be glad that we got the 10% and be proud we got that. And I say, no way. They would still be trying to handcuff me in the governor's office. There's no way that I would allow them to carry me out of there with 10%. I would have thrown an absolute fit. Absolute fit.
There we go. Come back and see us soon.
Yes, sir. Love to.
All right. We're out of here. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Talk to y'all in the morning for Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com. Reach out to me directly over on Twitter at fmtalk1065, and make sure to check us out on Facebook. Details on the Big Green Deal, that $9,000 prize package waiting for you. It's online. Get the details now.